Ms. Gonzalez, Mr. Cecini.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. I represent Mr. Korsinski, who was order removed by the immigration judge for three convictions. We argue that the immigration judge was incorrect in stating that he was convicted of crime of moral turpitude. It's a question of law, and therefore this court has jurisdiction pursuant to the Real ID Act. Specifically, I want to go to two of the convictions. The first one was the conviction for theft in Glendale Municipal Court in Wisconsin. In 2005, the BIA had a decision in matter of Islamizar that basically stated that if the burden of proof in a proceeding is preponderance of evidence rather than beyond a reasonable doubt, then it's not a conviction for immigration purposes. In Glendale Municipal Court, it is a municipal violation that he was convicted of. The burden of proof was preponderance of the evidence, and the only sentence that he could receive would be a fine. He would only be incarcerated if he were not.
How was this argument raised before the agency?
It was raised in the BIA, Judge. This morning.
I take it before the immigration judge, removability and status of these offenses as crimes of moral turpitude was conceded.
Well, if you look at the record, Judge, I think around page 46, the immigration judge, what he did is that he asked a pro se non-citizen if he was convicted of these crimes. And he stated yes. And I believe on page 46, when it came to a charge, he asked him if he were convicted of a crime of moral turpitude. And he did state yes. And that a crime of moral turpitude would have been the Illinois conviction that we're not saying is not a crime of moral turpitude. We're saying that it is because of the sentence he received in that case, he would qualify for the petty offense exception. So, you know, he was represented pro se, and I don't believe there's any question that with respect to the Glendale Municipal Court that it falls under.
How are you represented pro se?
Pardon?
What do you mean pro se?
At the immigration court level, he did not have an attorney, Your Honor.
Well, then he's not represented.
He's not represented.
Well,
he represented himself.
That's not represented pro se.
I apologize. Okay, he represented himself.
All right.
So with respect to the Glendale Municipal conviction for a municipal ordinance theft, I would submit that it is not a crime of moral. It's not a conviction for immigration purposes, and therefore not a crime of moral turpitude.
Now, the argument you're now making is that this was never raised before the immigration judge, so your client did not concede the issue. I mean, I'm interested in the difference between waivers and forfeitures. And that this argument was raised before the BIA.
Yes, it was raised before the BIA, Judge.
The Attorney General says it was not raised before the BIA.
Right. And
the Attorney General says the only issue raised before the BIA had to do with the appropriate treatment of the penalty enhancement provision.
That's not correct. And I was looking at
So my question is, how do we figure out which side is telling it to us straight?
Well, there's a brief that we submitted to the BIA, Your Honor. I reviewed I had reviewed the record previously, but I had just reviewed the record that was submitted to me. And it shows that it does not include my brief to the BIA. However, on pages 15 and 16, it does include a copy of the certificate of service, and on page 16 of the record, it does include the federal express receipt that I sent to the BIA.
Look, if your argument is that you raised it in a document that is not in the record,
yes,
we obviously can't verify that. Did you ask that the administrative record be expanded so we would have this document?
Judge, I did not. I didn't recognize that the brief. I spoke with counsel this morning. She indicated this morning that they did have the brief.
This is not something you look at this morning. The Attorney General made his argument some months ago.
Judge, it's not that I looked at the record this morning. I don't know how to explain this so that you can understand. I looked at the record previously, and portions of the record is given to me, but the actual record that I have here that was not ripped apart for my purposes by my office staff, it does not. I've noticed that it does not include my brief, although it includes a certificate of service and includes the receipt for the Federal Express that I sent to the BIA. And I would be more than willing to submit the brief.
You can't submit anything. You might make a motion that the administrative record be expanded to include it. But the question is not whether you send us something that you represent was your brief, but whether it is actually in the administrative record.
It's not in the administrative record, Judge.
But the rather,
counsel does have a copy of it.
After oral argument is rather late to make such a request.
I understand that, Judge. The other point that I would make with respect to his most recent conviction was the disorderly conduct, use of a dangerous weapon in the state of Wisconsin. Again, in 1992, the BIA in matter of Rodriguez-Cortez basically held that the penalty enhancer is not a conviction for immigration purposes. In this case, the use of a dangerous weapon pursuant to section 939.63 to Wisconsin statutes, that is a penalty enhancer. In the state of Wisconsin, you cannot be charged just on that statute. You just can't be charged with the use of a dangerous weapon. It also does not, disorderly conduct does not include use of a dangerous weapon as an element, and the elements of a penalty enhancer does not include the elements of a substantive crime, which would be the disorderly conduct. So it's impossible to be in a separate conviction. The only purpose for the use of a dangerous weapon is to increase the maximum exposure of incarceration. Therefore, the Glendale Municipal Court conviction is not a crime of moral turpitude because it was in a court of where the burden of proof is preponderance of the evidence. Also, this disorderly conduct, a penalty enhancer cannot be.
But how can we have a situation in which the immigrant does not raise the issue to the immigration judge? So the immigration judge doesn't examine the issue in any detail. Does that mean that every time you have a pro se immigrant, there's going to be another hearing, another.
No, Judge, but I think if the HCFRs, they do state in 1240.11 that the judge has a duty to bring out the facts, to find out what happened. Generally, what happens is that, you know, in the record it states that Mr. Korsinski had United States citizen parents. The immigration judge at that point, knowing that he is not represented by an attorney, under fundamental fairness, has the duty to review whether or not any of the cases, any of his convictions.
It sounds like the argument you're making, the next time an alien consults you and says, will you represent me before an immigration judge? The only thing you could say is, no, it would not be professionally competent for me to represent you before an immigration judge, because if I slipped up, that would hurt you. Whereas if you go pro se before the immigration judge, he has to do a perfect job of representing you.
No, I'm not saying that, Judge.
It's exactly what you're saying.
I don't believe I'm saying that. I'm just saying that if you are going to deport someone or find someone removable, when he's actually not, I think
that's exactly why you are saying the immigration judge has to make for you all the defenses that are conceivable to make for you.
Whereas
if you have a real lawyer, there could actually be a forfeiture or a waiver. So the only competent representation is no representation.
Well, the BIA has a duty as well that when you that to review what happened in immigration proceedings.
That's expressed in the statute. The BIA has to resolve only those issues that are actually raised.
But the immigration judge
was... That's what the exhaustion requirement, it's in the statute, says.
But the immigration judge concluded erroneously that he was deportable. And to find someone removable for cases that are not classified as crimes involving moral turpitude, in my opinion, just goes against the fundamental fairness of the whole proceedings.
The problem is, a person concedes deportability, but of course he's not deported immediately. He goes through a series of appellate proceedings, and then it's determined that because he didn't have a lawyer, his concession was improvident, and then it starts over. And of course, you know, the delay is a big factor in the tactics of many immigrants. So.
With this immigrant, his entire family is here in the United States, so it's not so much of a delay. He just has actual issues of law that he has not been convicted of more than crime of moral turpitude that demand his removal.
How long had he been living here when he had this hearing?
The hearing, I believe, happened a couple years ago, so he'd been here for about 9 years, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Cicini. Mr. Lewis? I mean, Ms. Lewis, sorry.
May it please the court. My name is Erin Lewis, and I'm an assistant United States attorney representing the Attorney General of the United States. Respectfully, the petition for review should be dismissed because the petitioner did not exhaust his claims before the immigration judge.
Why should it be dismissed rather than denied? That's one of aspect of what you said that puzzled me.
Because the court lacks...
There's no doubt about our jurisdiction. There was a final order of the BIA. There's a timely petition for review. This is not within any of the review preclusion provisions.
No, Your Honor, but it's the Attorney General's position that the court lacks jurisdiction for claims that the petitioner now brings before this panel that he never raised before the immigration judge.
You know, you must be aware that we have squarely held that failure to exhaust is not a jurisdictional problem. That is, it's not something that the court has to resolve on its own. It doesn't affect our jurisdiction. It's just a reason why a petition should be denied. So why are you making this argument in jurisdictional terms? We'd have to overrule quite a lot of cases to go in your favor.
I understand, Your Honor. Even if the court were to consider...
So why are you making the argument in jurisdictional terms?
The argument
is it that the Solicitor General has decided that we're out of line and it wants to set up a case to seek Supreme Court review of our view that this is not a jurisdictional problem?
No, Your Honor, but the statute is clear that a petitioner must exhaust his remedies before the immigration judge.
But there is a big difference between reasons why somebody loses and reasons why there's a lack of jurisdiction, right? If you don't make a proper motion for summary judgment in the district court, you may lose your case, but that doesn't deprive us of lack of jurisdiction if somebody appeals and the response is, yeah, but you didn't make the right motion.
I understand, Your Honor. I was not...
So why are you arguing it in jurisdictional terms?
Your Honor, I was not...
I have to repeat.
Your Honor, I was not the author of this brief, but the issues before the court, time and time again, the petitioner has admitted the factual allegations and conceded removability, beginning as far back as the sworn statement before the customs official. He admitted that he committed the crimes. At the hearing before the immigration judge, again, he admitted and conceded the facts regarding the prior crimes. He admitted the convictions. He had admitted he was an alien who had been convicted of a crime of moral turpitude. The judge took it one step further and said, on page 45 and 46 of the record, do you admit or deny the charge of removability? And he said, I am not denying. And the judge took it one more step. So you are admitting. And he said, yes. he now raises issues that were not raised in front of the immigration judge, including the fact that disorderly conduct is not a crime of moral turpitude, that a party to a crime is not a crime of moral turpitude if the substantive offense underlying the crime is not a crime, and that the theft conviction in the Glendale Municipal County should not be considered a conviction for immigration purposes. To make the record clear, the Board of Immigration appeal by the petitioner is in the record at pages 11 through 14, and he did raise those issues before the board. The problem is he did not raise them before the immigration judge, so the immigration judge could consider the issues. An argument that a theft conviction in a municipal court is not a conviction for immigration purposes misses the point. Under 212, it doesn't have to be a conviction, merely an admission that he committed the crime, which we have here today. Respectfully, the petition for review should be denied.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Lewis. Okay, our next case for argument, Sepulveda versus Gonzalez.